Hello, and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I are so glad that you are joining us tonight as we, again, kick off the 2012 season. We plan to kick it off or incorporate very positive, uplifting shows that will hopefully just ignite you to bring about change in your own life, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, that will talk about topics that will make you move even beyond where you think you should be, want to be, and hopefully what we say and do and the topics that we discuss, hopefully these things will certainly help you to get there. Just a few housekeeping tips. We want to start reminding you again of, for those of you who are listening online, you can send us a question or a comment by way of chat. I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat line now. And if you're listening by phone, feel free to select the number 1 at any time during the show if you have a question or a comment about, you know, this topic or just anything that you want to share with us. So hopefully we will have many of you that share some things with us tonight. We didn't have anybody come on last week, and that seemed to have happened during our last shows as well. So we are hopeful that you will start back communicating with us and sharing some of your stories as well, because, again, we don't want this to be about us. And the questions or the comments that you all share with us, it just helps us to move forward with the show and also helps Tika and I grow as well, because it stimulates conversation based on what you share with us. So feel free tonight to jump in at any time. And, again, if you're listening by phone, select the number 1. And that allows us to know that you're out there and that you do have a comment or question. If you don't have a comment or a question, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back and prepare to listen. And those of you on chat, the chat line is now open. Tika, are you on with us as well?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can
you hear me? Fine.
Okay, great.
Yes. Tonight we're going to talk about a time for change. And last week we started the show out basically, I'm sure everybody is probably sick of hearing about New Year's resolutions now, because seemingly that's all we hear about, as the new year the old year is ending and the new year is starting to come in. Everybody is talking about New Year's resolutions. And we talked about New Year's resolutions last week, but we wanted to bring it to you from a different aspect. We wanted you to start thinking about those things that will make you change rather than stop smoking or lose a few pounds or get out of debt. We wanted you to start thinking about those more personal things that will help you through many things in your life. And I shared with you at that time that one of the things that I was going to work on, or that I had determined that is going to be my New Year's resolution, was forgiveness. I realized that was an area that I needed to work in, and basically I didn't realize that until the very day of the show, as I was working through some things about the show, and I just thought, you know, I do need to do something. I do need to make a New Year's resolution. Forgiveness is a form of bondage for sure, and again, as we said on the show, forgiveness keeps that person, it keeps me in bondage. It keeps me captive. It allows me to be a prisoner. So that's what I'm working on. So to speak, that's my New Year's resolution, if that's what you want to call it. Okay? Tika, do you have anything before I get going on this part, or you want to bring some in about the butterfly evolution part?
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. And you guys can hear me okay? I am coming to you from North Carolina tonight, so a little switch for me in the method of the way I'm doing this show. So hopefully you guys can hear me okay, and if you can't, will someone please come in and let us know, okay? But again, this show is basically a continuation of last week's show, but in a different way, because again, we got you to focus on thinking about the personal things that you can do in life that will make you want to do those other things, like quit smoking, lose some pounds. Once you get yourself in order, you know, it's like a car, I guess, if that's a good scenario. Once you fix everything under the hood, you can drive it. You know, it's usually okay. But if you let things go, 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 that car is going to eventually put you down. So think about, bring last week's topic and the things that you've thought about. Hopefully you've thought about some things. You've thought about your New Year's resolution if you did one. And if you did one by now, you either know that this is going to work this year or it's not, because we are 9 days into the new year, and typically you know by now. If you stop doing or working on your New Year's resolution, you either have to start it again or you're going to wait until next year, like many of us do. Like right after the new year, it's kind of over. We may do it 1, 2, 3 days. But in last week's show, we talked about you have to create a plan. You have to know your destination. You have to know what you're working towards. You have to create a plan for it, a support group, and so forth. And in some cases, a time for a change, you may have to do the same thing, because whatever you're working to change, you do want a support group. You do want someone to help you be accountable for that change. Sometimes when we think about change and we want to change, sometimes we have to change our environment. We have to change our circle of people. We talked about that on this show as well. So, again, tonight's topic is a time for change. And, again, hopefully you all have thought about this, those of you who knew about the topic in the show. Hopefully you have thought about, you know, those things that you do want to change in your life. And before going, I just want to make you aware of or think about the things that we are, that around us, that are consistently changing. And I want to call out a few to you, and I'm going to tell you why a little bit later in the show. But think about how many things around us change, because life is about change. And if you don't change, your life doesn't change. It stays the same. You stay in the same place. You know, you don't grow. You may not add things to your life, and that's okay if that's where you want to be. But a lot of us, I find that we're there and we don't want to be, but we also don't want to make the work or do the work that it will take to make the change. It's probably a better way of putting that. So the things around us that change, the months, think about it. We have 12 months. The days, we have 7 days a week. The season, in between all of that, the seasons change. We have summer, winter, spring, fall. Think about yourself. Our minds change, the way we think, and sometimes that is based on age. You know, we grow older. Our children grow older, and certainly they change. We all know that they change. And so all these things around us are changing. So how could we remain the same and exist in this world if we didn't change as well? And now, whether that's a forced change or a decision that an individual makes to change, okay? And so some of you, I'm sure, may be thinking, well, what does all of that have to do with individual change? And what I'm trying to get you to see there is just things are consistently changing, and we adapt to those things. So sometimes we may feel like we have to be forced to adapt to change rather than making a decision to say, this is not working for me the way I did this. The perception I have about this particular situation or thing has not worked for me, so I can change this. So we don't have to wait to be forced into change, because I think what we think then is, okay, we have to do this if we're forced into it. Well, you have control over your life. You have control of what comes into your life, what you allow into your life. You have control of what you give back to your life. Just as we make the changes when the seasons change, we know how to dress, we prepare for it. When our minds change, we may have to write down things more, we may have to think about things more, and so on. So that's the reason I wanted to kind of put that out there, just so that your mind starts to work and think about change, and how we adapt to it when it's forced, if that's a good word. You know, when you kind of think, well, I can't do anything about it. So I have to change. I have to make a choice to either change or nothing happens. And again, basis you deciding, you know, I am going to make this change because it is for the better of myself. Okay? So again, the lines are open, and I see that we have many callers out there. So again, if you all, some of you came in a little bit late, if you do have a comment or a question, select the number 1 if you're listening by phone. And if you don't have a comment or question, you only have to listen. You don't have to press any buttons. And if you are listening, tuning in by way of internet through the site, the chat line is open as well. So feel free at any time. You don't have to wait for us to get to a point where we're asking questions or asking for questions for your comments, because the lines are open. Okay? I wanted to add one other thing. I thought about this today as Tika and I were talking about a situation, and I thought about, you know, it's basically we were talking about the phone conversation, and this takes place mostly with women, how for me, and this doesn't happen with all women, but for me, I and Tika, we recognize as we grow older, and maybe we're putting it on age, maybe it's that we grow wiser and just fulfill our lives with different things. But as we do, the phone is not as important, or phone conversations are not as important to us. And so that's a change coming from being a teenager and a young adult. You know, the phone was everything. We stayed on it 24/7, even, you know, as a young adult. And for most women, I find a lot of my friends, some of them had some of them did not understand that. And I just recently, you know, again, we thought about that today based on a situation that happened. But some people think where you're pulling away or you don't want to talk anymore and you want to say, no, I'm 43 and I don't know what else we need to talk about for hours at a time. And most of the time when I look back, it was really about things that were not fulfilling to our lives. We talked about our situations so much so until we were living our situations, then we were talking about our situation for 3 or 4 more hours every day. So how could we get out of our situations? But I realized once I stopped talking about them so much on the phone, if a better way to put it, gossiping about things and people, and it's that's different from having a true conversation where you are making ground, where you are taking care of those emotional things. So even think about that, you know, as we grow older and wiser and our lives become more fulfilled, some people do not want to talk on the phone for hours at a time anymore about things that we really have no control over, that's over and done, it's in the past, you cannot change it. So, and again, some people have a hard time dealing with even that change with a person. Tika, feel free to jump in. You have anything on that one?
Other than change, I mean, if something is going on in your life and you don't like it, nothing will be different about your pattern or your circumstances or anything unless you change what you're doing. That's the clear definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. If you don't like where you are, if you don't like what you're doing with your life, if you don't like the choices that you made or the circumstances that you're in, you have to do something different to create a different outcome, to create a different circumstance, to create a different result. Your actions have to be different. Your thought pattern has to be different. Your words have to be different. Your actions have to be different. Without all of those things being different, you cannot do anything but reap the exact same results. So change has to happen. It's not an option. It's not something that should be an option or you should think about, oh, do I really want to change? I don't think I do. If you like where you are, then fine. You'll just gradually evolve with whatever's going through your life, and you'll just kind of keep it as it is if you like where you are. But most people, there is something in your life that you would like to see change in, whether it be, you know, the way you're living or you know, the circle of friends you keep, like she says, or, you know, your eating habits, or just, you know, the way you spend your money, you know, your discipline in your spending habits. There are so many of us have areas in our life that need to be changed, but it can't change unless it starts from the top, it starts from the mind. You can't do anything without a renewed mind. And that's usually kind of put it almost in every show, and that's Romans 12:12, saying to not to conform by this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot change anything if you don't have a new mindset with a new clear understanding of the right form of reason, the right form of perception. You cannot just stuff and change on your own unless your mind changes. So your mindset, what follows your mindset will be your actions and your behavior, what you physically do. But it all stems from a renewed mind, a changed mindset.
Okay. Thanks, Tika. And just what I'd like to do is share, this is a short, very short little report or insert that a young man wrote, and those things that I brought out, you guys can feel free as you go about your week and think about, again, the month changing, the days. And I guess a good one to start with is the days. And I just didn't think about this, but even time, you know, it doesn't say 8 o'clock. And we change based on what time it is as well, because then we have to prepare, you know, we get up. So we do all those things that we feel like we are forced to do and that we need to do, and I'd like for us to start training our minds to make those things happen for us, make those things manifest that need to be changed in our lives. Before reading the story, and again, it's very short, so it won't tie you down, but I'd like for you to think about this. If the name of this story is All Grown Up. Okay, and I know that it's a little bit different from A Time to Change, but that's the name of the story. And it starts out as this. And before I start, think about if there is an adult, and a very immature adult, why do we still call these people adults? And that's kind of where this story steers from, but it also talks about the change that has to take place, or sometimes that we are forced to do, okay? So the story starts out is, who is it that decides if someone is an adult? It is certainly not you or I. In truth, no one can, because it is not to be determined. People are in constant change, okay? And it says there are some who never change. Some are just as immature as they were when they were children. Yet society calls them adults. So if society assumes immature people over 21 adults, then what is the difference between those immature people and high school students? Society might answer this in the way that immature man can take care of himself, unlike the high school student. But if this is true, then would society claim that elderly people are children since they cannot take full care of themselves? I think not, the writer writes. And it says, teenagers are sometimes put in situations where they have to take responsibility. And I'm going to read that one again. Teenagers are sometimes put in situations where they have to take responsibility. For example, a father dies and leaves a family with no primary source of adequate income. This teenager has to mature faster than he is ready to. Now, he is bringing in money and food, and most likely has to prepare the food for his brothers and sisters because his mother is out working two jobs to support her broken family. This teenager, in the blinded eyes, is just that, a teenager. But in the sighted eyes, he is a man. Maturity is what decides whether one is an adult or if one is still a child. It is not age that expresses one's adulthood as some may presume. Okay, and what I want to focus on that is, again, we have a teenager in this particular story whose father passes away. He is now put in a situation where he has to make a change. and again, maybe has to is a difficult word, but there are many young men and young girls who are consistently put in that situation, whether if it's a one household parenting situation. But the focus point here is being forced into a change, because you may have two teenage boys or girls where they're put into that situation. However, not all of them will decide that, hey, I'm going to step up and take this role and help out and step in for my father's absence and so forth. And we do have many children that do that, but it all comes back to deciding to make that change, to adapt to that change. And again, it's important that we start to look at our lives that way. We have to be able to adapt to force change, but I think it's more important to force change in our own lives. So that means stepping back, taking a look, what has worked, what has gotten me here. You know, sometimes I think it's a good idea to say, if I could create new habits, what would they be? If I could start over, what would I do differently? And then do it. It's never too late to change. I think that we sometimes get, well, I don't think, we do get so comfortable where we are in life. And that's all around us until this fits us. We've talked about how children that are abused, they don't want to be taken out of their home. It's what they know. No matter how bad it hurts to stay there, it is what they know. So think about that again as you ponder what this show is about. Because no one, like Tika said, you may be okay where you are, or you may think that you're okay. But I think for the most part, most of us, when we lay down at night and the lights are out and our thoughts are processing, or when we're alone or we're thinking about life or reflecting on life, there are some things that we really want to change. So listen to those inner thoughts and start processing them and process your way. Force that change completely out. Tika was going to talk about it on a different level, kind of bringing it into how we, the butterfly evolution and what that means as far as change, hopefully getting you all to see yourself similar to the butterfly. Shouldn't say that, but that process. Because, again, I think we sometimes get stuck where we are and think it's too late for change, we're too old for change, what's the use, who's going to help me through this, just get up and do it. It certainly will not change if you don't start it. Tika, you want to jump in with the other part of it?
I do, yes, Tammy. I wanted to just put a little emphasis on the reason. The reason and the meaning behind the name that we chose with us choosing Butterfly Evolution. The name is really profound, and it has more of a meaning than just two words, but this is something that we really want to stand out, and it really has power behind the name. So I just wanted to put a little bit of explaining what it is about the name and then let you know how change ties into what our name represents. Tammy and I, when we decided to do the show on Butterfly Revolution, originally we didn't have a name, but what was amazing was that almost at the same time we came together saying and feeling that we wanted it to be tied in with the butterfly. Butterfly would be used in the name. And I didn't know if Tammy had a fascination with butterfly, but as I was going through my divorce, I began to get really extremely intrigued with butterflies. I began seeing them a lot, seeing them just on TV. They would be flying in front of me. I began seeing them a lot, and I didn't know why I was just able to see butterflies just everywhere I would look. But I decided, okay, let me pay attention. This may be a symbol or something. Maybe God's trying to talk to me. And so I began to just kind of think about, okay, the life and the stages of a butterfly, because it has to go through a process of dying, and it goes through almost a process of rebirth. And so I kind of just, that was my own little incorporation of, this was one portion of my life that was dying, but another portion of my life was going to be reborn, and it was going to live just a new life from a different perspective than a life without limitations, because I saw a caterpillar limited to the ground, to the earthly ground, and I saw a butterfly without limits. It has wings, so there are no limitations. It can go anywhere. It sees and lives from a whole different perspective than it did in its prior life. And so when we chose butterfly together, that right there was amazing, you know, combination and a piece of unity that was coming together. But then when we chose the name evolution is the process of formation or growth. It's development. It's a gradual and peaceful and progressive change. And so just tying the two together with the butterfly being of the life cycles, one life dying and existing again, and then the process of evolution where it's a gradual, peaceful, and progressive change and growth, it really magnifies everything it is about the show and what we're trying to do and just what we're trying to represent, what we're trying to reflect, what we're trying to speak about. But the name Butterfly Evolution, the butterfly, it has four distinct life stages. It is the egg, the second stage is the larva, the third stage is the chrysalis, and the fourth stage is the butterfly. And there's that believe this, and I'm one that believes it as well, that we in somewhat have four stages of life. And our first stage being the fertilized egg that's planted in our mother's womb. The second stage is from our day of birth, where we're like the caterpillar, where we can only creep and eat and just live, you know, on this earth, on the earth, just limited. The third stage is the death, where we're like the dormant pupa in the chrysalis stage. And then the fourth stage is after that, our consciousness emerges from a cast-off body, and some see this as an emergence, as the emergence of the butterfly where it receives its wings. So that's a new life. It's a new created life. And in my research and searching to try to see if I can find, you know, symbolisms of a butterfly, I was amazed to find that it symbolizes, in so many cultures, it symbolizes resurrection, it symbolizes rebirth, it symbolizes freedom, and it symbolizes born again. And that was really strong to me because rebirth and resurrection and born again, that is in the Christian world when we're told and when we talk about renewing the mind, that is a rebirth. When you talk about renewing the mind, that is like a resurrection. That is letting that old life die, that old life, that old mindset, that old way of living. You are letting that part of you die, and you're being born again into something new. And that's all tied in with the rebirth or the resurrection of Jesus. And I also want to quote the scripture that I found to be tied in along with the rebirth and the resurrection, and it is 1 Corinthians 15 verses 42 through 44, and then 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. But it says, so be with resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. And it says, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And so just when you go from one life to the next life, I have gone through a complete transformation. This whole butterfly thing, I see myself almost as a butterfly because one life, I wasn't crazy about that one life, and all of my life wasn't bad at one stage, but I have so much more in store because my mind is renewed and my walk is with Christ and my actions are with Christ and my mindset is with Christ. And so I won't even have the same fruit. The same type of fruit won't even be in my life because my actions and my mindset is so different. And so that is how, just tying in the butterfly evolution with this change, because change can't happen without a renewed mindset. I mean, I cannot say that enough. I will say it until I'm black and blue in the face, but you cannot change anything if you do not have a renewed mind. No matter how hard you try, you can try it, and you can let me know what you came up with trying to change on your own, but I've done it over and over and over again, and I've been trying to change, you know, since I was a teenager and trying to change things I didn't like about the way I was or my actions or my words or my lifestyle. And you cannot change it when your mind is the same, because you're going to have the same exact thought pattern. You may try to do something different, but your thought pattern is going to be the same. And the way your thought patterns develop from our childhood, they just do. We are a product of our environment. And we have a thought pattern that is molded. It's molded through fear. A lot of us didn't grow up in an extremely nurturing environment. And so a lot of fears and a lot of barricades and a lot of limitations got set up in our mind through childhood. We brought it from childhood into teenagehood into our adulthood, and we still have those same mindsets that were developed and that derived from fear. And anything that derives or develops from fear, you can't live through, you can't navigate through and try to wind up in wherever it is you want to be. You can't get there. Or you can get there, but it's gonna take you a really long time to get there. You're not gonna be exactly where you wanna be. You just will think that you're where you wanna be. But it'll always be a gray area to where you just spinning wheels. You will just be spinning your wheels like a hamster running in the little toy cage. You're just spinning your wheels. You're spinning your wheels trying to change, but you just cannot change without a renewed mindset. And so butterflies, what they symbolize is just the spiritual evolution. A butterfly symbolizes rebirth after death. And they show new life from the old. It is also, like I said, a reminder for Christians of the statement, born again, because we become a new creation in Christ.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and for butterflies, same here. I mean, I love butterflies. I remember as a young girl, we used to catch them amongst many other things that we used to catch. And you know, everybody's familiar with that jar that we used to poke the holes in the top of it and just watch them. And I'm amazed that once we started the butterfly evolution, it's like butterflies were everywhere. I was seeing them in all colors, and that they just took on a new meaning to me. So I like to not only see my life or think of my life as that caterpillar turning into this beautiful butterfly, but I also think about, you know, what if that caterpillar chose who just said, you know what, I don't want wings. I'd rather just stay on this ground and shiver my way around. I'm okay down here. You know, what if that caterpillar had a choice to say, no, I don't want those wings. I don't want to be able to fly. I don't want all those colors. And I think we do that in life sometimes. We settle for so much less than God intended for us. And then that we intended for our own lives as well. So don't get trapped. Don't feel like, you know, don't be afraid for people to know, hey, I got to make a change. Don't feel bad, because the people that you are, if that's you, the people that you are not wanting to know, they probably want you to do it so they can say, you know what, I need to join you. There's some things that I want to work on as well. So be the first to jump out there and start, you know, at least think about that change, think about ways to incorporate that change. And again, think about, if you have to, think about you're the caterpillar now, but think about what you're going to be. So just another little insight. I do have just a few things, and again, the lines are open. Another thing I think that creates change is positiveness and loving yourself just where you are now. Knowing that you are just as important before that change as you will be at the end of that change, because you got to love the skin you're in, the body you're in. If not, when you get all those things, they may pacify you for a minute, like a little baby. You know, they cry, you give them pacifier, you take it out, the crying starts again. So love yourself now, wherever you are, while you're deciding if you're deciding there's some changes need, this is where I want to be. Look at what you've been doing and where it has gotten you. So if you've been doing this and you know that this is possibly the reason that I'm here, this is not my purpose, this is not where I'm supposed to be. You know, I started out going to California and I'm in, New York. So that meant you took some wrong turns, you started out with some wrong directions. let's get back on the road and end up where we intended to be. There are seven things, see, maybe a little bit more, of how to develop habits, because, again, great habits, I think, manifest into other things as well. And I know for me, I just find fun things to do with myself. I'm here again in North Carolina, and I was in this hotel room, and as funny and crazy as this might sound, but I was maybe too much information. I got out the shower, and I had my music on, and you would have thought I was just out dancing in front of a crowd with my ballerina. You would just think I was dancing for President Obama because I had so much fun in here, and it made me laugh and made me happy. I'm ready to go home, and I'm thinking I got to get out of this rut. I'm sick of this hotel room, but I could have waddled in my mess, or I said, okay, it could be, people probably would love this opportunity. It could be a lot worse. Here I am, you know, in a city where I can eat what I want for a change without paying for it and things like that. And here I am complaining like I want to go home. So I just knocked myself right out of it. Not saying I didn't get back this morning and ready to go home again, but for that moment, it made me feel okay. I had to just dance my way through that stuff. So a couple of habits. Do a 30-day challenge focusing on just one thing or one habit that you want to either break or recreate. I'd rather recreate. Again, ask yourself if there was two things or two habits that you can start, regardless of where you are in life, how old you are, how much you think you've messed up. Think of it as a new day. Every day is a new day. So do a 30-day challenge. Focus on one habit that you'd like to recreate. Write it on paper. Okay, so write it down along with your motivations, your obstacles, your strategies for overcoming that habit. And if you're recreating, if you want to recreate, then write down things that you feel will help you create this better habit. Okay, and commit to it fully. And again, we're talking 30 days here, and that sounds much better than a year or saying, I'm going to lose weight. You know, we talked about that last week. If you say, I'm going to lose weight, say, I'm going to lose maybe 5 pounds by March or something. And that gives you something. That gives you an ending to it rather than the year and it doesn't give you a goal if you just say, I'm going to lose weight. Okay? And log your process. Journaling is, I think, a wonderful thing. I don't do it daily, but sometimes, again, when I feel like, you know, the world is weighing on me or situations or things or people or just myself, I'll pick up a journal and I'll write. And sometimes I don't have to write a whole lot just to get the stuff out. So journaling, it says log your process. So journaling is another way to do that. And another one, remain public or have someone that an accountability partner that you can report to or talk about your progress to. Okay, so a good friend, and make sure that it's a positive friend who, you know, it's probably someone in your life now that you admire, that you, and even those people that you admire, sometimes they need people that they can just kind of fall back on as well. So get a partner that is working on change as well. And as you talk about those things, you know, this is one of those times you might want to have the hour conversation with the friend. But, again, you're talking about things that will make a difference in your life, that will be life-changing. So get that partner. And then reward yourself for those small successes. You know, when you catch yourself not responding negatively to a situation, not falling back into that rut, when you catch yourself doing that, pat yourself on the back. Go get a burger or something. I don't know. Do something that you like. Go for a walk or dance. I mean, turn the radio on and dance. Like they say, dance like nobody is watching. You know, and you'd be surprised how that just makes you feel and just lifts your spirit. And then if you fail, don't be so hard on yourself. and then figure out why, what was it, something that triggered the failure, so that way you know when it's coming again. You can stop it before the next time. So those are just some quick things that you can kind of do, and I'll just run over them really quickly again. It's a 30-day challenge, and you're focusing on one habit at a time, because I think if we do that one at a time, I think sometimes we just overload our lives trying to fix everything at one time. And based on our age, I mean, I know I'm 43, but even I cannot fix everything at one time. It would be overwhelming to me. I would give up, you know. So you decide what will motivate you the most, what change that you can make, what small change that you can make now that will give you motivation to go to the next step. And I know there's plenty of people that want to go back to school, plenty of people that, you know, they just want to do creative things. They don't want to just sit around and have life as it's been day after day after day. You know, we should get up feeling blessed to just be able to breathe and see the sunlight again and see our loved ones and talk. So just live each day as it is the last day, like there's no tomorrow. And if there were no tomorrow, what would you do today? You know, what would you say? What would you tell people? What would you want people to tell you? And that's a good way to think about life too. You know, as we complain about things and this and that, if today was it, would those things really matter? You know, and if tomorrow was going to be here and you had a chance to make tomorrow better, do those things that if you say, okay, if I wake up tomorrow, this will make my life so much better. And it's kind of like turning on the coffee pot before you go to bed. You don't have to get up to turn it on for those automatic ones, and you smell the coffee, and it makes you want to get up. You know, let's do life like that. Get a reason. You have a reason to get up, and just to be able to open your eyes and be able to put your feet outside of the bed should be enough for us sometimes. So let's not get caught up in wanting those things and needing those things that really are just temporary fixes. Again, it starts within us. Again, the lines are open, and we so want to hear from you all tonight. We just talk, and you guys have gotten really quiet even the last few months of the show. So if you have anything that you want to say about change, anything that you think you can add on to what we're saying, anything that will motivate some of the other listeners about changing or trying to determine, you know, what to change. And again, I think the best thing to determine is, again, soul searching and purpose. What, you know, you hear all the time, what would you do for free? You know, if you had all the money in the world, some people would say I would do absolutely nothing. But then there are people that would still want to be up and about and making a change. So what would you do for free? You know, and if that, I remember seeing a lady, and she was a traffic, she was for the school, I can't remember what they call, what the professional word for them, but, you know, they direct the traffic for the children, and this was in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I got to tell you, she must have been the happiest person, or she appeared to be the happiest person in the world. And the lady that I was driving, and I was with her picking up her daughter, and she said she's like that every day, and that every parent loves her spirit. And she said that, you know, that's just her. You see her out and about. She's the same person. She's just the happiest person. But she was directing traffic as if people were paying her, you know, thousands of dollars per car as they passed her. You would have thought that they were just throwing money out to her. And to hear, you know, that's just how she was. And the lady said, even if it's raining, she's that way. She's just the most happiest person. So it's not what we do, it's finding joy in what we do. It's finding joy in your life and not, again, beating yourself up about where you are, but motivating yourself about where you intended to be and now where you are going to be, and not looking at life as if it's too late for anything. Okay? The lines are open. Tika, do you have anything? No one selected the number one.
Okay. I put my portion about the life of a butterfly. So I, when you mentioned about if the caterpillar did not want to go come out of the cocoon stage, what would happen to that caterpillar if it made the choice? Well, you know what? I don't want to come out of the cocoon stage. I want to stay right here. Actually, what would happen to that caterpillar if it chose to stay in the cocoon stage? It would die. It would literally die because that's a process that it has to go through. It cannot say, I'm not ready. I'm not going to come out. I'm not going to accept this change. I'm just going to stay right where I am. It will die. And that's somewhat true for us because when we don't want to evolve and when we don't want to get better, when we want to do better, receive better, see better, live better, wherever we are, we go through somewhat of a death. When you're not growing, when you're stagnant, when you're complacent, it is as if you're numb. You're just like the walking dead. You're not evolving. There is no good fruit in your life. You don't see the favor of God. You just exist. And who wants to live a life where you just merely exist? That's not living. To just exist is not living. That's just a life of complacency. And you will become very despondent from living that type of life. You will get burned out with the monotony and just the mundane day-to-day activities, just like an assembly line. Your life will feel like an assembly line. And I've worked assembly line jobs, and that was, I know everybody's different, but for me, that was punishment and torture to me to do the exact same thing every single day, all day long. You feel like a zombie and a robot all rolled in one. You can feel like the human of the zombie or the man-made robot, but that was just, the monotony of that drove me up the wall. So everybody's not cut to do the exact same thing over and over and over. I love change. I'm a hairstylist by nature. I'm a designer. I'm a creator. I consider myself somewhat of an artist. So I like doing something different. I have to do something different, and I have to do something with my hands. My hands have to be touching something, involved in something, making something, molding something, painting something, designing something. My hands have to be creating change. I can't just sit and do the same thing over and over and over. That's torture for me. But everybody's cut out different, but I know what's torture for me. I know what's good for me. I know what's healthy for me, and I know what's unhealthy for me. I know if I'm sitting doing the exact same thing over and over and over, I'll get in the mindset and I will wind up feeling as if I'm dying from the inside out. And you will see it in my actions, you'll see it in my words, you'll see it in my face and just I'll become lifeless. I will just become lifeless. So that's one thing when we're talking about the butterfly. If the caterpillar chooses not to come out of the cocoon, it will die. And then once it is in the cocoon and it has to go through the chrysalis and come out of its tomb stage, no one can help the caterpillar get out. If we were to go up and start breaking the pieces off, it'll die. It has to be strong enough to push through and break out of that cocoon stage. It has to be able to do it on its own. And that is almost, I kind of incorporate that with real life as well, because sometimes when you're trying to help someone get through something that they're going through, or you try to make it better or fix it or ease their transition through it, they don't learn, because that's a molding process that was needed for them to be able to move to the next level. And since we try to help them through it, we enable them to where now not only can they not deal with this stage that they're in, they won't be able to elevate to the next stage because they didn't build up the strength, the tenacity, and the courage or the strength to make it in that present environment. So just like that butterfly, no one can help it out. Sometimes where our friends are in life or sometimes where people are in life, you know, when we want to see change for so many people, we want to see change for us, we want to see change for so many people, sometimes it's not meant for us to help everybody try to do or be what we think they should be doing or where we think they should be. So just like the butterfly is a reminder, it is for me. I have made it a reminder for me. It's a reminder to a reminder that change, that what makes change, when the opportunity arises, change and transformation is inevitable for all of us. But it doesn't have to be traumatic. Change doesn't have to be traumatic. Some people are so afraid of change, and that's something they derived from childhood. I don't know what has caused that traumatic feeling in that individual. But change is not traumatic. Change is not chaotic. Change is not scary. Change should not create anxiety, because it's natural. It's like the ebb and the flow of the ocean. You know, when the ocean comes up to the beach, it has to flow back out. It can't stay up on the beach, and it can't stay out at sea. It comes up, the tides come in, and they go out. The tides come in, and they go out. Change is natural. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. The moon is then sky and comes out, and that's just a natural flow, day and night, the ebb and flow of the ocean, in and out. And that's life has a natural order, and the natural order is change. And so with the butterfly, it symbolizes so much to me. And I just wanted to read something that I was able to just kind of put together just through all the research that I did about the butterfly, because, like I said, you know, it's been used in many religions and cultures in the Western world and throughout the rest of the world. And the butterfly, it truly symbolizes and stands for freedom. It stands for fun. It stands for joyous times. And it also symbolizes a state of naturalness and purity. Overwhelmingly through myth and culture, the butterfly, the symbolic transformation of the butterfly through its metamorphosis with the egg, the larva, the pupa, and the cocoon, it emerges. It says that the butterfly, she emerges in her unfurling glory. And with this, it says, what a massive amount of transition this tiny creature has to undergo. Consider for a moment the kind of energy that she has to expend, where if we humans were to go through this, we would freak out if we had to have this type of energy to break out of this cocoon. And that is what we tend to do. We think that change is traumatic. So just like the butterfly, you know, don't freak out when this change comes about. Walk through this change, accept this change, because whatever you resist, I know you've heard this before, whatever you resist, persists. But you can't resist it. So don't try to run from change, because change is inevitable. It's going to happen whether you decide to be a part of it or not. Change is going to happen. And so imagine your whole life changing to such an extreme that you're unrecognizable at the end of this transformation. From that cocoon, from that caterpillar to the butterfly at the end, it does not look like the same creature. Those are they look to be two different creatures, even though we grew up in school knowing it's the same creature. But the transformation, you know, it's a life-changing transformation. You don't even look the same from beginning to end. And it says, so herein lies the deepest symbolic lesson of the butterfly. She asks us to accept the changes in our lives as casually as she goes. The butterfly unquestionably embraces the changes of her and of her environment and her body. So this unwavering acceptance of her metamorphosis is also symbolic of faith. So when you see it as being symbolic of faith, that's where we walk through change well. We get so afraid of what change is and what change brings about. It really says, and it shows a reflection of us having a lack of faith. We panic about tomorrow because we have a fear of the unknown. But why should you have a fear of the unknown when there's a creator that knows all? He knows the beginning and the end. He already knows your future. Your future is already known by God. But we don't walk in faith. We walk in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen down here and up here and we can't even predict that. We can't predict that no matter how you try. We can try to plan it, but we don't know for sure. We have no complete surety of what is about to happen. But if we walk in faith, it allows us to accept change more tranquilly. We're able to walk through change with more of a peaceful and serene feeling. And I promise you, peace. And tranquility is so much better than chaos and anxiety. Chaos and anxiety is horrible. It makes you sweat. It makes you panic. It makes your heart race. It makes you feel, you get the nervous feeling in your stomach. Anxiety is, to me, me, that's the worst feeling, because it's hard to control, because it comes from fear. Fear is what drives that anxiety. So, like I said, with this unwavering metamorphosis that the butterfly goes through, it's when we should realize that we should be able to keep our faith, not placing our faith in us, because when another thing is, when you place faith in yourself, anxiety will always follow. Fear will always follow when you place faith in yourself, because what are you capable of? You are merely a human being. What are you truly capable of, and how are you truly capable of predicting your future, setting your future, planning your future? What can you do without help, advice, direction, instructions, the blueprint of what your Creator has planned for you? What can you possibly do? You can attempt to do it on your own, but if I'd rather climb those mountains successfully instead of stay in ditches and stay in the wells and just constantly be reaching for, or for the next person to reach down and enable me and keep me from progressing where I need to go. So it says this butterfly, like I said, she understands that her toiling, her fretting, and her anger are all useless against the turning tides of nature. And that's where I said the ebb and flow of nature. The sun rises, the sun sets. The water comes in to the beach, and it goes out back into the ocean. So these are the natural turning tides of nature. Increasingly in many cultures, like I said, the butterfly is associated with the soul, further linking this animal symbolism of faith with the butterfly. And it also says through the Greek, which literally translates that butterfly with the psyche means the soul. And it represents the psyche. It's also associated with love. And so, you know, we would always hear when you're in love, when something good is about to happen, or you're excited about something, we tend to get butterflies in our stomach. They kind of associate the butterflies with love, just the butterflies in your stomach. And that's a good butterfly feeling, not the anxiety feeling in your chest. That's a different type of racial feeling. So, there, like I said, other cultures associate this elegant creature with the soul. They do in Asia, they do in Mexico, they do in New Zealand and Zaire. And like I said, even Christianity considers the butterfly a soulful symbol. So to wit, the butterfly is depicted on ancient Christian tombs, and Christ is usually depicted and painted and illustrated holding a butterfly in Christian art. It's also connected with the soul. Being connected with the soul is rather fitting, because we're all on a journey of the soul. On this journey, we encounter endless turns, shifts, and conditions that cause us to morph into ever-changing beings. And so at our soul journey's end, we're inevitably changed. And like I said, change is going to happen whether you want to be a part of it or whether or not you want to agree with it or not. Change is going to happen. So we may as well embrace change, because change is good, change is not bad. So embrace change. Don't make it more difficult than it has to be. Life does not have to be difficult. Life is actually more simple than we realize it to be. But it is us, these mere humans that we are, we're the ones that choose to make life difficult. So, like I said, to take this analogy a step further, we can look again into the grace and eloquence of the butterfly and realize that our journey is our only guarantee. This journey is our only guarantee into the next level. This is the change. So our responsibility to make our way through faith and accept the change that comes and emerge from our transitions, and we will notice, like, brilliantly the beauty of the butterfly, to be able to see this brilliant change in us as well. Change is inevitable. Accept it, embrace it with tranquility and serenity, and no matter what, like I said, this change is going to happen. But with God, He will keep you at a serene level with change. He will keep you at peace about wherever it is you're going, wherever it is that you need to go. Like the life of a butterfly. Every time I feel disturbed about anything, I love butterflies. I wear butterfly rings, butterfly jewelry, butterfly necklaces. Even when I want to think on my own that, okay, can I handle this, or is this going to be too much for me, I almost have a daily reminder of some form of butterfly jewelry that I wear, or some piece of butterfly on my clothing. And if perhaps I'm going through the day and I don't have on anything that I can see this butterfly on me, God, and I do believe that he allows this, he will have a butterfly cross my path. I see it so much on a regular basis. When I'm outside walking, I almost always see a butterfly. And it brings me back to tranquility every single time just because the way I see it glide, flapping its gentle wings through the sky, through the air, it brings me back to peace. So this is my peace song, The Butterfly and Serenity Candy.
Hey, and if when you see another butterfly, hopefully that will make you think about, I know we went real deep into that, but when you see another butterfly, maybe it'll make you think about how that butterfly started out and represent and have that, think of that as your own life. If you were in a place of discontent, a place where you just feel like just another day, because, you know, no day is just another day. So when you see, and I just pray that all of you that are listening tonight and listen to the archive shows, that you start to see just butterfly after butterfly after butterfly, and it reminds you of where that butterfly started, and then visualize the wings and the colors and think, I can have my own wings. So think about that. I know that, you know, we are human beings and we're not insects and, you know, not part of that metamorphosis, but that's just a great example, because as you start to see them again, hopefully you will think about your own lives. And I know that I feel that we change based on trial and error. The things that we go through or have gone through, they either make us change or they make us stay where we are. They make us just like Tika said, in fear of movement. And I know we've talked about the trash can, and I cannot keep saying it enough, because just the beginning of the year, I was the same friend. For those of you who are repeat listeners, we've asked that you move your trash can, and all this ties into the mindset. It just reminds us of how our minds keep things and just how we get stagnant where we are, because this is what we're used to. But this particular friend, again, that moved her garbage can months and months ago, and I was over months and months ago, and the trash can was right. I mean, she moved it by her door as you went in her home. It's in the back of, you know, where the kitchen is. She moved it from her pantry to this place. And when I was there at that point months ago, I got up past the garbage can to go to where the garbage can was. Now, I'm in her house, so my mind has remembered things that are in her house. And the first of the year, I went over her house. I had not been, gosh, probably in a month or more. What did I do? I needed to put something in the trash can, and to the pantry I went again. And her daughter is 13, and she knows about the trash can. She knows why her mom moved the trash can. And they all, you know, would go to the pantry as well. But she knew, because I stopped in my tracks thinking, the trash can is not there. But my mind went there before my body did, so to speak, you know, because I felt like my mind told my body to go this way. And off I went. But that was so amazing to me. And so we started another conversation about record keeping, that our mind keeps. And so we have to think about the trial and errors that we've gone through and remember what we've learned from them or what we would take from them in order to make that change. Please, please, please don't. If you're not happy where you are and if you want more out of life, please, please listen and do these things tonight, because life is so much better than what I think a lot of us are living. I know for me, no, I don't have a perfect life now, but I have a peaceful life. I have a very peaceful life, and I thank God for that. And it only came by way of dealing with me and my issues, letting them go, and then learning just as soon as I let those go, there's more that I have to continually decide daily. Oh, wow, this is something else. This is something else. Just like the forgiveness, you know, in working on the New Year's resolution, forgiveness is and we did a show on forgiveness, and I guess at that time I wasn't ready to, or either it was not time, and that goes back to one habit at a time. I think sometimes there's more than we can, one is probably too much sometimes. So, again, if the lines are open, but, again, I hope that when you see another butterfly, you think about the things that he could share with you and what they went through, and now you end up seeing this butterfly that is beyond beautiful. I mean, just thinking about that. And another thing to think about is flowers. You know, I when I get tired of thinking about butterflies, or when I just need something else to compare my life to, think about seeds. Think about, you know, plant a seed. Plant your seeds and allow God's word and your work, you know, because we have to work to make changes, to make any change. We have to first acknowledge that there is change needed. We have to commit to enforcing that change, working through that change, and it's not good. You know, what the butterfly goes through, it's not a pleasant process. So we have to work through it, and we have to be willing to commit to going through it while knowing that there is a better side. There is another side. You know, we have to reap what we have sown sometimes, and, you know, I've had to remind myself of that. You know, this is some of this stuff you're just reaping. But just as I've had fun, you know, creating my future at that time, now I got to go through this or reap this so that I can come through this. And now I find myself saying, you know what, I'm not going to do this because I'm planting some different seeds now. Now that I'm older and realize you reap what you sow, you know, we know that, and we've heard that all of our lives. But when you get to a point where, okay, I'm planting different seeds because I'm expecting different flowers, and I started to look at life like, you know, you're this flower, this seed that's been planted, and this concrete is poured over it, but God's word and my consistent work will allow that concrete to break so that I can bloom. And I just don't bloom in one flower. There's many flowers to come. But that means I have to daily die, really, of those things. Because, again, just like when we get over one thing, we realize there's another thing. And in this article that I read you, The All Grown Up, there's a part in here that says, it's ironic because it says people never really change into adults. We are not like insects that metamorphosis into a new state of being. And I thought about the butterfly as Tika was reading that, and I was kind of looking over this, but it says, you know, again, we are not like insects that metamorphosis into a new state of being. We are human beings. Our lives change over a long period of time depending on our reactions to different situations. We ourselves never really change. We just learn through trial and error. And I was a little... Initially, I didn't really quite agree with we ourselves never really change. Then I thought about how often I have to remind myself that I'm not that person anymore. I don't have to respond this way. I don't have to react this way. I don't have to feel down today because I'm so over where I come from, so over all my mistakes, all my past hurts and pains, and just those things that I felt like this is it. You know, so I have to remind myself. So when I read that again, that we never really change, we just learn through trial and error. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you have different thoughts about that. Maybe we don't really change, but we learn to change through our trial and error. We learn to think differently, to be different, to not remain or go where our mind sometimes takes us. And that goes back to, like Tika was saying, being renewed in our mind. And that's a process. You know, that's a everyday process because, depending on age, it's taken me 40-plus years to get to the point where you say, enough is enough. This is not working. And either I want to be like this the rest of my life or be in a situation like this the rest of my life, or I don't. Okay, I don't. Now what? And sometimes we just need to say, okay, now what? And whatever that is, do it. So Just wanted to bring up the trash can again. And if you all have not moved your trash can, please move it this year, tonight. Please go wherever it is and move it and just watch your family, watch yourself go right back to where it was. And mark down how many times you do it. You know, nobody came on and said that. My friend shared with me how many times that she did, but we would really like to hear how many times you go back and your children, how many times they go back. And speaking of children, I know that we tell, this was my life as well, for those of you who are parents or aunts and uncles, think about how we tell our children, you can do this, you can do that, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. You know, think positive. We tell them all those things that we want to motivate them to just live life to the fullest, because at some point you start wanting better for your cousins, your nephews, your children. You start wanting better for those people that you love. You want them to react and respond to life differently. Well, they need to see us doing that as well. They need to learn from us, not rather than be told. They need to see us enjoying life every day, loving our life every day, and not feeling like, because kids know, people pick up on, you know, you can remember seeing someone and remembering they were in stuff, basically going through some things, and you see them, you think, you know, you really look happy. There's a true difference when someone is at peace with their life and happy. It truly makes a difference in one's life, in one's appearance, and so forth. So think of it, think of life that way. You know, we get up, and if it's raining, we grab an umbrella. You know, in most cases, we don't want to get, we put something over our head. You know, if the sun is shining, we go out, we're dressed differently, we're dressed appropriately. So let's just decide to leave the rain. Let's create the sunshine for our own lives, and we can have sunshine even when it's raining. You know, rainbows come out after the rain. So start thinking about life that way. Again, the lines are open. We see that some of you are out on the internet as well listening, so the chat line is open. And I am, I think I'm about out of all I had to say about change, other than you guys just decide to do it. And again, please, someone out there or a couple of you, move your trash can tonight and be prepared to tell us next week. We'd like to have some of you at the beginning of the show just kind of tell us how many times you went back this week, you know, from tonight, starting tomorrow, I guess, how many times you went back to that trash can. And think about your mindset, that's even with driving. You know, you get in your car and the way that you're used to going the most. I did that so many times. I'll end up on the opposite end of my street, meaning to go the other way that I rarely go, but because, you know, my mind is used to backing out of my driveway going left, that's where it goes, even though I'm getting in the car needing to go to the grocery store, which I very rarely go to, but sometimes I do. And when I do, I still find myself from time to time going to a totally different direction and having to turn around because I was headed to the store, but my mind's still used to going the other way. So the mind is what we have to work on and make a decision that we are going to be in control of our mindset. Renew your mind, and the other things will follow. And again, we cannot say enough, put God in your life. You know, read your Bible, grow closer, establish a relationship with God. The 4 a.m. prayer is still going on. We mentioned that at the very end of the year. So I am still doing that 4 a.m. prayer. If anybody wants to join in, feel free to let me know. And we wake up at 4 a.m. and we have some people in Nashville. That's a part of it. Atlanta. That's a part of it. Trying to think where else. We just added another young person this morning. He's 23. We have two young people on, and one of the young ladies, she's 22, and she actually initiates the call. She calls, and then we get everybody on. So, and even if you don't do it every day, pick one day where you say, I want to take part of the 4 a.m. prayer on Wednesday. We'll call you in and get you up at 4 a.m. And it has just been a wonderful process. It just allows you to get up and spend time with our Maker and our Creator. And I tell you, it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference. Again, it doesn't mean we're problem-free or things don't happen, because certainly life happens. If you live, life happens. Things happen. It's how we go through it, and it's who we go through it with. And our Creator, I can't think of another, there's just no other way. So if you want to join the 4 a.m. prayer, and again, that's Central Time. So for those of you who are on Eastern Time, that's 5 for you. So that gives you an extra hour. And it's very, you know, laid back, and we talk a little bit as well some mornings. It's just God-led, so we would love for anybody that wants to be a part of it to do so. And if someone's out there and they want to and you want to connect with us, feel free. I've given out my number before, and I'll give it out again, and I'll wait a minute, and before we get off, I'll give it again. But it's 901-830-6088. Again, 901-830-6088. If you missed that, I'll give it out again before we disconnect so you can get a pen and paper. Tika, do you have anything?
I do. Well, we were talking about faith, you know, how the butterfly has the faith. I want to read the scripture. You know, when we were talking about fear, how fear just really is derived from your past, and we bring it from a childhood into our adulthood. And when you walk through fear, you cannot walk or feel safe. You don't even recognize it. Faith and fear cannot coincide. They are two extreme opposites. They are on both opposite ends of the totem, of the field, of the scale, of the whatever you want to call it. They're on two opposite ends. So faith and fear cannot coincide. It cannot coexist in the same mind, in the same heart. It's just, you're going to have one or the other. One is going to be stronger, more powerful. If you have faith, you won't fear or be driven by fear or paralyzed by fear. But if you have fear, you won't be moved, encouraged, or driven by faith. But I wanted to read the scripture about having faith, what to put our trust into, and you know, just something to take with you to think about. In Matthew 6:28-32, and talking about worrying, because when you worry, that is not faith. When you worry, I remember hearing Joyce Meyer say, when you worry, you're putting more faith in Satan than you're putting into God. And when I heard that, it made me think, okay, worrying means I'm putting more faith in Satan than God, and I know God is the Almighty. Why would I trust what Satan can do versus what my God can do? And to hear that, and even though I told myself, well, I don't believe that, but that just stayed on me. I couldn't forget that saying. And every time I find myself worrying, I realize that I'm not trusting God. I'm trusting in what I think Satan will do, or what he's whispering that he will do, or I'm putting trust in what I think I can do. But I'm more than aware. It's clear to me that whenever I worry, whenever I'm afraid, that's that moment that I'm not trusting God. And one thing that I do tend to do, because I know I'm not going to remember everything, but a part of my prayer is asking God to make me aware of the times that I'm not trusting him. Make me aware of the times that I'm trusting myself. Make me aware of the times that I'm believing, you know, the lies of Satan and believing, you know, what fear is capable of. Make me aware of these things. And when I ask him to make me aware, he does every single time. But I wanted to read the scripture of Matthew 6:28-32. It says, why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in the fire, will he not clothe you much more beautifully than he does the flowers of the field? Ye of little faith. So it says, so do not worry about what should you eat, what should you drink, or what should you wear. Don't worry about these things, because these things will dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. And if you place your trust in him, and if you keep your faith in him, like I said, he already knows what you need. So, therefore, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. You don't have to worry about all of those things. He already knows what you need. He will provide all of your needs. If you believe that he will, if you have faith that he will, then you can put your trust in him that he will. He will every time. I just wanted to give where my references came from the show. It was through Wikipedia. It was through Crandro.net, dictionary.com, and then the scriptures was from the Holy Bible. But and speaking of New Year's resolutions, last year I really don't make New Year resolutions, but I've been reading the one-year Bible for about 4 years, trying to read it from beginning to end, and I read some and stop a couple weeks, read some, stop a few days, but I wouldn't start back over where I left off. I would just pick up if today was the 23rd of February. I started the 23rd of February. If I go 2 weeks missing or 3 or 4 days missing, I pick back up those 3 or 4 days later or those 2 weeks later. But last year, 2011, I started in January, and I remember a couple of times through the year, well, not a couple, maybe 3 or 4 times through the year, I got off about 3 or 4 days. I didn't allow myself to get off 2 or 3 weeks. But whenever I would miss 2 or 3 days, just because I let myself get so busy, I didn't make that time to read my Bible, I would go back, and I caught myself back up with the 2 to 3 days or 3 to 4 days that I missed. So from January, each day I have a one-year Bible, and what's neat about this Bible is it has one scripture from the Old Testament, one scripture from the New Testament, and every single day you read one psalm and one proverb every single day through the year, through January the 1st all the way to the end of December. And so my goal last year was to read the Bible, the complete Bible. I've been trying to do this since I was about 14, from beginning to end, and I've never read the whole entire Bible. But this last year, the year 2011, I read the Bible from beginning to end. And when I tell you, that has expanded my knowledge, that has expanded my understanding, and it has also increased and it has expanded my trust and my faith in God. Because when you, even though you grow up in church and you hear the pastor and you hear the preacher and you hear different people tell you about the Bible, we're not really supposed to just take what they tell us and go home and just put the Bible on the shelf and say, see you again next Sunday. No, it's meant for us to take. Not all, how can you apply that in your life if you don't go home and get an understanding of that word to apply to your life? I noticed in growing up is how routine and how ritualistic we make church. It just becomes the Sunday routine. Just like if you do laundry on Saturday, that's your Saturday. And people will make a routine out of going to church. But and some people will say, you know, what they don't like about the church, so they have church at home. And I'm not going to knock what people do, but church is a true, of course, it's intended for fellowship with other Christian believers. But most of all, I found that I wasn't getting as much when I would go home and put the book down versus when I would take notes in church, go home, review my notes, get the Bible, pull out something I didn't understand, and then I used to read from the NLT, the New Living Translation. It's just more contemporary of today's terms. But then there's times I like to compare it with the King James just because the words seem to have more power, and sometimes it seems that once it's put in today's terms, it seems to take away a little from it, but there's so many different Bibles out there. You can do what works best for you. But being able to read it from beginning to end, the little things that you miss hearing in church or you just wonder, well, I've been in church my whole life, and I've been hearing these same little scriptures, but this is a gigantic book. Why don't we hear all this in-between stuff? I was able to go and pick up and read and learn of all the in-between stuff that I never remember hearing while growing up. And the in-between stuff helped make a lot of sense to me because I've had people question and ask me, oh, well, if God is such a good God, why did he allow this? And why did this happen? And why did that happen? But when you read from beginning to end, it explains everything. You're not left with questions, and you're not left being unsure, and you're not left just asking someone else to explain it to you while they give you their interpretation of it. It is, you read the content of the Bible for what it is, and when you read the content of the Bible for what it is, you keep it in the content of the way it is. You don't put it into the context of your understanding, and that's why I said with God you will have a renewed mind, because without him renewing your understanding, without him renewing your mind, you will take the content of the Bible and you will put it in the context of your own understanding. And the context of our understanding, like I said, it derives from our childhood. And if we came through an unhealthy or dysfunctional childhood, we have an unhealthy, and we will tend to have a dysfunctional perception. And then we take that dysfunctional, unhealthy perception with blinders and a veil over our eyes, over our mind and over our ears and over our mouth, and we sit and we try to interpret the Bible with all of this stuff in our mind, in our mouth, with our eyes, with our ears. And so when you allow God to renew your mind, when your mind is renewed, your heart is renewed. When your heart is renewed, your words are renewed. When your words are renewed, your actions are renewed. When all of this is renewed, you can understand the Bible, and you can take it and accept it for the content that it's in, and you can apply the content in the Bible into your life. And you can actually live the life that God has designed and created you to live. And you will exhibit that in your walk. And other people will see your walk. And it won't be about you. It won't be to give you a thumbs up or put you up on a pedestal. But they will see God in you and through you and with you. And really, to tell all of you, this is what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about Tammy. It's not about Butterfly Evolution. This world is not about us, what we can attain, what we can possess, what we can have, what we can achieve. This life is about God. It's about learning who he is, knowing who he is, and sharing who he is, and bringing people to him who don't know him or who have no clue of who he is. This is what life is about. And when you're really able to grasp that, and like that was new for me, to really grasp that it's not about your Tequila. What do you mean it's not about your Tequila? I want this, I want that, I want to do this, I want to go here, I want to be this, I want to buy this. And when, like I said, spinning wheels, like a hamster in that little toy spinning wheels, I'm spinning my wheels, trying to achieve and get all the things that I want to get, trying to seek glory for myself, trying to put myself on a pedestal, try to put myself in a position to where I can be magnified, and that's what a lot of us tend to do. But when you, like I said, when you have a renewed mind, you truly, truly realize and recognize what this life that you have on this earth today is all about. Just want to end the show with saying thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Butterfly Evolution, and I truly, truly hope this show has in some way inspired and encouraged you to live differently and to walk differently. And again, within and about the Butterfly Evolution and the meaning behind our name, it's tranquil, the butterfly is serene, and it's fragile, yet it's beautiful. But we're soaring to new heights, transformed from the depth of our former lives and purposefully living a life of freedom, a life void of limitations, boundaries, and barricades. A life born again with heightened senses, awareness, and perspective. Our spiritual wings allow us to soar above it all, and our desire has been to encourage and teach transformation. That is what Tammy and I desire. And Tammy, I'm going to give it back over to you as you close, but I thank you all for joining us again for another week of Butterfly Evolution in this new 2012 season, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Tika. And I just want to end with a quote that this is came from my cousin's Facebook page, and so amazing, but it said, some people are just like pennies, no matter how hard you try, change for them. And that's how he put it. So some people are just like pennies, no matter how hard you try, ain't no change for them. And you can't get change from a penny, and we're not pennies. So I just challenge you all again, move the garbage cans this week. Just create your sunshine. Just again, I hope you get out and I hope you see so many butterflies till you can't hardly wait until next Monday to share it. Thank you, and we're going to create change not only in you this year, but Tika and I are consistently changing. I know every show I do makes me look at my own life and promote additional change. So thank you. Thank you for all of you who came back this 2012 season. We really appreciate it. Tell others. And again, if you want to join the 4 a.m. prayer, we're on every morning. My number is 901-830-6088. You can give me a call or you can text me and say, hey, call me for the prayer on this day And if you want to change it, you can always let me know not to call you. So thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.